Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am uber excited. I have a guest. This is his 10th time on the show. Nobody's ever going to come close to that. His name is Mark S.A. Smith, and he is one of my favorite guests because we have these deep conversations about business and trends. And that's what we want to talk about today, is what kind of trends can we look forward to or expect in the coming year? And Mark and I have had these conversations many times, but I think now's a great time to kind of revisit that. So Mark, how are you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing so well. It's going to be an extraordinary year. Thank you, listener, for tuning in and letting Brian and I share our insights on how to profit from 2019.
And I agree with you 110%, man. It's a pleasure having you back on. And so I really want to kind of dig into, you know, I want you to open up that crystal ball, you know, and start to prognosticate, you know, what we've seen. Because last year was a year, obviously, of major changes. And there were so many things that happened. And, you know, I did a show earlier this week that was about those kind of changes, about, you know, how social media is going to go into a funk, you know, old is new, and how we need to get back to the basics of marketing and those kind of things. But you have a little different take on it. So you came up with four different things. Let's outline those four things and we'll dig into them individually. Let's give a real short description of what those four things are.
You bet. I think we need to look at four fundamental areas to help us navigate 2019 to great success. Number one is, what's the technology that's being rolled out worldwide that's going to have an impact on everybody's business? Number two, what are the generational pivots that are going on that are going to affect how customers buy? And it's pretty impactful. Number three is how you navigate the politics. Love them or hate them, Mr. Trump has done a lot of interesting things to our world, and you get to figure out how to make money in that environment, and I guarantee you that you can. Then number four is my prognostication on our economy and how to set yourself up for the most success going into 2019.
Cool. Okay, so that lays out the groundwork. So let's start with the technological side of things, because, I mean, a long time ago, I remember standing in line for the iPhone 1.
Oh, yeah.
That was 10 years ago. Man, have
Coming up on 12.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's coming up on 12. And it's, man, have things changed. And it's amazing how far things have gotten. So let's get your take on it. What kind of things are you seeing from a technological advancement?
Oh, we have a couple of big things hitting. Number one is 5G cellular service.
Mm-hmm.
It is predicted to be deployed worldwide by 2020, of course, which is, can you believe it, only 12 months away. And that is going to have a radical impact on our business because, first of all, it provides extremely high bandwidth to the mobile devices. It's predicted to bring 1 to 20 gigabit to the device. Very few businesses have that kind of bandwidth out of their data center, which means that a lot of organizations are going to get choked if they don't have a plan on how to supply high bandwidth to the world. And so you're going to have to talk to your technology people about locating your access to the edge of the network, which means being essentially where your on-ramp is to the internet, and figure out how to make that happen. Early adopters of this high bandwidth content is going to rule. And the reason why is because it's going to allow us to stream extremely high speed videos, but more importantly, it's going to enable virtual reality and augmented reality out of our mobile device. Mm-hmm. And that's the killer app that I see coming out in 2019 is augmented reality. Think Pokemon Go on steroids. And so 5G actually enables that because of the speed that it brings to the devices. We're seeing this being rolled out right now to the major cities in the United States. All the major players are doing it today. So you can already get 5G type of service if you wish. Now, there's a couple of other interesting aspects to 5G, one of which is a 5G only cell device is expected to have a battery life of around a month, not a day, a month. that's going to change a lot of things as well. Imagine not having to worry about finding power for your mobile device. The reason why is because 5G enables us to push a lot of the compute power out of our hands, which is what chews up power, and put it on the carrier back to the cell tower itself. We'll have compute power at the cell tower. The second one is brain-computer interface. It was just getting started last year. It's way further down the line than a lot of people think. You can put on these little halos, and you can be running the mouse on your computer today. And we'll see more and more of that, because that's the connection for taking virtual reality and augmented reality into a handsless environment. And probably 3 years, 4 years or so, you'll be able to get at a reasonable cost, you know, I'm saying $1,000 or so, contact lenses that will allow you to see an overlay on your real world, and you'll interact with that through your brain-computer interface. And this sounds like it's rocket science or science fiction. The reality is this is already available today. It's just a matter of it rolling out. So those are some of the technologies that we have to consider. One last in the tech stack that I want to talk about is security, data security and computer security. That is going to get even more intense, as you've experienced with some of the changes in WordPress, new opportunities for people to break in and steal information and IT and ideas. And you have to just stay on top of your security. It's really critical that you do so. So pay attention to that. Dust out your security policy manual and take a close look.
Yeah, and I think some of the things that people have to think about is, number one is investing in tech. You have to be very methodical about it, because a lot of the older tech is going to go away. I mean, one thing I always say is that every computer has a life expectancy of 3 years.
That's true.
You know, so that's pretty average. I mean, you get more out of Macs. They tend to last a little bit longer. I can get 6-8 years out of most of those. But the thing is that with this new technology, you know, if your phone doesn't have 5G in it, be prepared to get a new phone. If your computer doesn't have 5G connectivity, it will the next one, you know. So you'll be able to bypass a cable internet carrier, which to me would be fantastic, because then you can cut the cord on everything and you can have one connection that you could use on all your devices, which I think in the long run will be a lot less expensive, you know, and that I think is going to be, you know, the bringing it to the masses in that way, I think is going to be huge. Because right now, I mean, I know you've got a gig Ethernet on your house. I've got 100 meg, you know, I can't even get gig here because the cables don't support it. You know, if it's happening over the wires and stuff like that, that's going to be a big change. So yeah, good stuff,
indeed. Man. Wireless. Yeah. Fundamentally 5G will replace Wi-Fi over the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll actually be sooner than you think. The key reason why is because 5G has sub-millisecond ping. For those people that are gamers, you know what that means, no lag.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us that like to have a real-time experience, that's exactly what 5G is going to deliver. Plus, it'll be fundamentally ubiquitous. It'll be everywhere you sit because of the infrastructure strategy for 5G. It's going to be a massive game changer. And you're right. The future devices that you'll have won't have Wi-Fi chips. They'll have 5G chips.
Right. Yeah. So big time. All right. Let's move on to the next one. We're talking kids. Our kids.
Yeah. Generational pivots going on. We have three fundamental pivots going on. Number one is baby boomers are on their way out. I am a baby boomer and I celebrate my 60th birthday this month. And I'm close to the trailing edge of boomers. And so what I see happening is a lot of boomers are going to be moving out of leadership roles, and they'll be replaced by Gen X and millennials. And that's going to be a massive shift, primarily because the boomer mentality has always been own the means of production. And the millennial viewpoint is pay for access, don't pay for ownership. So there's going to be a lot of leadership changes in organizations as this fundamental generational shift goes on. And we're also seeing that even in the political world. We have elected for the first time millennials to Congress. That's going to cause a lot of disruption. I am just gleefully sitting back and watching the disruption, because they're going to really mess with the boomers that have been running our country for way too long. And of course, they're going to be getting their education in how politics works. Then the third aspect of this generational pivot is Gen Z. And those are the folks that are just starting to turn 18 and 19. And so now they can sign contracts. And Gen Z, if you haven't noticed, is substantially more conservative than the prior generation, Gen X. And to the point where they really are forcing what they consider to be the right way values, the right way to live. An example of that is Nestle has declared that they will be sourcing free-range eggs in all of their products that they make in the next 5 years. Now, that's a massive impact because what they're doing is choosing to pay 300 to 400% more for a commodity product based on what they have detected as being a critical decision-making values factor for Gen Z.
So the value factor to Gen Z, I mean, I think one of the things that we've got to understand from, you know, an older, younger generation, no matter what it is we have to start to learn the communication styles of these people.
And the values.
Right.
Values. What do they value is such a critical difference because with boomers, it was about ownership.
Right.
And in fact, we can summarize this actually fairly quickly. In my mother's generation, it was, where are you from?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in the boomer, it's, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And with Gen X, it was, what do you like to do? And with millennials, it's, let's talk about what you're doing. And with Gen Z, it becomes much more about, are we doing things right?
Yeah. And it's something that I think that, you know, people are going to have to learn. It's like, why don't these kids get it? You know, I remember my parents saying that, and it's like, the thing is that they didn't have the tools that we have right now. You know, they don't have the emotional intelligence tools, they don't have the research, they don't have all those things. We have that now.
We do.
But the thing is that you've got to commit. Now, here's the thing. Like we said with the 5G, you're going to have to replace some equipment. You're going to have to replace some of your thinking, which means you're going to have to educate yourself. You're going to have to spend some time investing in learning how to communicate with those people the way they want to be communicated to, right?
Indeed. It is truly a mindset shift that you have to make. And once you get it, there are really good reasons why millennials and Gen Z view the world the way that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to help you shift to understand why they feel that way, yet still protect your identity.
Now, right.
Now, the good news is that we can do this. I consider myself to be a millennial in a boomer body. And soon I will shift to being a Gen Z in a boomer body because that's what's required for me to understand and to lead generations. So there's a massive shift. And the good news, and maybe this could be another show we can talk about, is leadership across generations. What people respect remains the same. How we do that changes.
So I agree with you 110%. And I think this kind of leads us into the next point. Mm-hmm. And that is, and I'm going to mention a name. Some people are going to go crazy. Some people are going to get it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I don't know if I pronounced that
indeed
right.
There she go.
28-year-old from New York was elected to the House. I've seen people, you know, go crazy about her, that she's a millennial. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's too young. But one of the things I think a lot of people don't think about is she's the same age that Paul Ryan was when he was elected to the House.
That's right.
And so this is a wave in politics that I think it's going to happen, is more millennials are going to start to get involved. They're seeing the need to get involved, but also the power in getting involved. And I think that's going to affect our politics.
And it's going to have a radical impact on our politics.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see a lot of interesting political upheaval over the next decade or so. And it's starting, of course, this year. And that, I think, I celebrate it. I take a look at some of the things that Alexandria does, and I shake my head and go, oh, you'll figure it out. And then I also see something she says and go, it's about freaking time that we have that conversation in the world of politics. So I'm going to be probably bouncing back and forth between amused and enthused.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And I think that, you know, I think one of the things that's definite is, you know, the old guard is starting to get old. You know, whether.
And it's showing.
It's showing, yeah. And it's the old way of doing things is changing. And I think that, you know, we're going to have to. Here's the biggest thing about it. Whether I don't care what side of the aisle you are, what you believe in. I think the biggest thing that we're going to have to get used to is the fact that the pace of change in our politics is going to be faster, and probably, I don't think the news cycle can keep up with that. I think Mr. Trump, love him or hate him, has changed the news cycle from what's happened today to what's happened 5 minutes ago. And I think that that pace is going to continue. I think that there's going to be a change in the world politics, not just in the United States, but in the world. I think this stuff is going to be at a much rapid pace, much more
rapid. Yeah, it is indeed. In fact, let's just make that wholesale shift into the world of politics and what you need to think about. And indeed, President Trump, whether you love him or hate him, he has certainly done massive things to improve the economy, and that's reflected by the gross domestic product. And the GDP is high, unemployment is low. In all of these areas, the impact on you as a business owner is, number one, if you have the opportunity of growing. The economy is growing, you have the opportunity of growing. And if you're not growing, it means one thing and one thing only. You're in a business that is shrinking. Every business shrinks available market shrinks over time. You have to pivot to a new market. If you're following traditional baby boomer methodologies, that may be a little difficult if you believe you have to own the means of production to get the job done, versus embracing platform technologies that allow people to come in and add value to what you do. That's what Uber and Airbnb and Amazon and Netflix have all done. So fundamentally, you have an opportunity of making money. And if you're not, you probably have a business that's in decline. If you're making money and you want to grow, there are two things that you have to deal with. Number one is employees. And right now, employment is an issue. Employment's at all-time low. So all the good people have a job. And if you want to hire somebody, you're probably going to have to hire somebody who's a B performer, and you're going to have to lead them to being an A performer. So your opportunity of just going out there and finding the right person is getting scarcer and scarcer, yet your opportunity of finding somebody who's motivated to grow into the job is absolutely solid and strong. So you've got to think about how you're going to have enough people in your organization to get the job done. Then the second thing about the political environment is the amount of regulation has been decreasing really rapidly. And that cracks open a lot of opportunity of making money. So part of your job is to work with your attorneys and your accountants and your business advisors, probably through your association, your trade association, and identify those areas where there's been a change in regulation that opens up opportunities that may not have been available for you in the future. There's a place that you can take politics and make money.
Yeah, and so you've kind of also blended into the fourth point, which is the economy. We've kind of blended into that direction. Mm-hmm. What do you see as far as the economy is the biggest opportunity or the biggest change coming up in the next year?
First of all, let's talk about how we measure the economy. In general, people take a look at Wall Street and think that's an indication of the economy. It's not. It's an indication of attitude towards stock investments, bonds investments. And the stock market's been all over the place. It's been down. It's been up. I believe the stock market can go as high as 50,000 before a radical correction. And those people that are leaning back and going, "Mark, you're smoking something. Can I have some too?" And the answer is, no, I'm not. I don't share. And the second answer is, we're making this pivot from a transactional world to a recurring revenue world or a subscription world. And I would say that about a third of Wall Street listed companies have done that pivot. And that pivot is going to improve their price per earnings ratio that they can enjoy by a factor of 4 to 6, even as much as 10. And in some cases, it's in the 50s. It's insane how much higher it raises up the price per earnings ratio. And of course, that is reflected in the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the Standard & Poor's Industrial Average. And so we have a long way to go. And Wall Street right now it's a long-term bet. you know, short term, you can get fried. And the people that make money short term are using programs and computers to do that. Don't compete with the professionals. They will take your money. Instead, take a look at that as a long-term opportunity. Yet the way that we really want to take a look at the economics are things such as gross domestic product, and even more importantly, unemployment figures. Those two things, in my opinion, give us a much stronger indication of the economy versus just the financial markets. So we have to look at all these elements working together. There is massive increases in economy. I don't know about you, my friend. I've seen a great growth in my business, expecting for strong growth to happen in 2019, because I'm having lots of leading conversations with my prospective customers. In the past, the number of leading conversations, here's what we're planning to do, how can you help, were quite small. It was more, you know, we need to kind of batten down the hatches and button things up. Now it's, hey, we've got to talk about how we can grow our business. As a business growth strategist, those are the conversations I love to have. And so get ready to capitalize on this upswing. Now, some people say, yeah, but Mark, we're 7 years into a 5-year cycle. Well, that's using old economic models, and that's using old political models. President Trump has stood those models on their head and is doing radically different things. And of course, the world is responding. Whether the news reports it or not is irrelevant. What I want to look at is the things that I'm seeing both in my local community as well as the indicators that we've talked about in the past. So get ready. If you're not already, get ready to take advantage of these growths and attitudes of positiveness into making money with your customers.
Okay, so I want to take what we've just talked about and summarize it and then kind of come to a conclusion. So first and foremost, I want to go backwards. Number one is you talked about the subscription model, and this is something that I think that small business owners need to look at strongly, yes. You know, especially consultants. It's the hours for dollars versus the subscription for dollars. Yes. Is there a way to do that? Can you get people to subscribe to something and then figure out how to fill the bandwidth? In other words, if you, let's say, write blogs, you can only write 10 blogs a week, okay? But if you have, you know, 20 people working underneath you, you can amplify that to, you know, X amount. So you have to figure out ways of scaling your business based on the subscription model. So you have to kind of look at things a little bit differently. The other thing about the politics side is you have to look at the changing landscape of the way that people are perceiving what's important to them, and what their vision of what is necessary and what is not necessary is changing from a political standpoint, which means everything from, you know, healthcare to immigration to a whole bunch of other things. There's all those kinds of opportunities. Then right we get on into the different gens where we have to, okay, now we have to learn how to communicate with different styles to different people, which we've always had to do, but now it becomes much more important and you have to invest in yourself to learn how to do that. And then finally, the technology to support all that infrastructure. In other words, you need to gear up so that you can communicate different ways to different people, that you can understand and act quickly as policies change, and that you have the ability to scale the subscription model based on the technology. So that is one neat bow that I think that everybody needs to look at and tie around their business. What are your thoughts?
Well said. I think you've really summed it up nicely. And you can always rewind and listen to the details at another time when you put together your plan.
Yeah, so I think that really kind of gives a good broad brush picture of things to look forward to, and just, you know, put some pins in that, people. Start to think about those things as time goes on. These are not things that are going to happen tomorrow, but as December 31st, 2019 rolls around, I think you're going to see a lot of this stuff come to fruition. So anyways, Mark, as usual, it is not only a pleasure, but it's enlightening as hell to talk to you.
thank you, my friend.
Likewise, I enjoyed the conversation. Kick it up a notch, you know, with the depth of what you're thinking about. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, we can all sit here and say, okay, how do we use an email program? But sometimes I think we need to look at the bigger picture than just more how do I get emails out, or how do I use Facebook, or those kind of things. And that's what I love about these conversations, is they're deep, you know, and you're not Jack Handy either. Some people will get that, some people won't. But anyways, man, it's been a pleasure talking to you. If people want to get a hold of you, follow you, get engaged with you, how do they do that?
All right. Two fundamental ways. Let's connect on LinkedIn. Marks on LinkedIn.com, M-A-R-K-S on LinkedIn.com. We'll take you straight to my profile. I'll be delighted to connect with you. I'm glad to have a conversation with anybody. I'll give you 20 minutes of my time to find out your view of the world. And I'm going to always learn from that. Second of all is if you want to get my weekly email on executive strategy skills, I'm a business growth strategist. I teach people executive strategy skills. And I send out usually less than 1,000 words. It's always about some sort of strategic aspect of your business. Shoot me an email, mark.smith@bijaco.com, B-I-J-A-C-O, bijaco.com. And I'll be glad to add you to my list.
Well, Mark, once again, man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you for bringing some fresh, new, sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs to my peeps, man. It is always a, you know, a mind-blowing experience. And I hope that people take this, listen to it again, and get some value out of today's conversation. So thanks for joining us, dude.
Always a delight. And we'll look forward to the next episode.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.